The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMET and 99.3 KCMD.
Kim Komando, great show. If you haven't checked it out, Saturday morning, 7 to 10. It's a great way to get going into the weekend. And you, especially when you find out how many ways that people try to rip you off, and then she helps you avoid that. There are tons of it. It's amazing. Just click on this, right? Yeah. Your bank wants you to click on this and give a password. Sure they do, all right? It's 12 minutes after 8. Join me right now. Looking forward to this interview here, especially after what happened with the Supreme Court case in Idaho. Talked about Idaho the other day, but Karen Strawn is a... well, I guess best way to describe her, critic of feminism, an advocate for men's rights, which means she must be completely canceled. I don't know. Well, she lives in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, which is canceling everybody right now. Isn't Canada doing that right now, Karen? We appreciate you coming on the show. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. And Alberta is actually pretty good most of the time.
It is.
We have a very conservative government in power right now. And I think most people in Alberta, other than, you know, in the enclaves in the two larger cities, you know, where the universities are and stuff, other than that, most people are really sick to death of Trudeau and his shenanigans. So,
what is it about the university world that seems to bring this out so much unreality, I guess, in this world? What could you say about the academy? Any thoughts on that?
It's an indoctrination center. I mean, like, what's happening now around transgender ideology, that had its roots in the universities in, you know, as early as the 1950s and 60s.
Really?
Dr. John Money and his theories on sort of the malleability of gender and his, you can look up two names, John Money, just like cash, money. Mm-hmm. And David Reimer, R-E-I-M-E-R. And Google that, and it'll make your hair turn white, what that doctor did to that child. So,
could you give me just a little hint? Is it worse than what OHSU is doing to kids that are brought to Oregon Health and Science University, which is like the big moneymaker for the gender mutilators? Just curious.
Well, it's really awful because it was an accident in infancy where he lost his penis to a circumcision accident.
Mm-hmm.
And his parents, they lived in Manitoba. They were farmers, I believe. They saw John Money on TV talking about his gender theories and stuff. And so they contacted Johns Hopkins, I think it was, and, you know, asked to have him look at their son because he was only like a year old and they couldn't see any way for him to grow up and be happy.
Sure.
And
sure, this is what, the 1950s, 1960s, earlier and cruder this, surgery, right?
This was like the 1960s. And so they did, mm-hmm. they gave him an orchidectomy and put him on hormones and raised him as a girl. But even that, by age 14, he was a miserable, miserable child, just unhappy, depressed, and all of that. As a girl named Barbara, and when he was 14, he was so suicidal that his parents finally told him the truth, and he changed his name to David and lived as a man. He even married a single mother with a couple of kids and all of that, you know, got a job and things like that. But he eventually killed himself, and his twin brother died of an overdose, I believe. They're not sure whether it was intentional or accidental. So his parents lost both their sons.
That is so sad. That is so sad. And what I'm concerned about right now in the transgender world. By the way, I'm speaking with Karen Strawn, advocate for men's rights, also a critic of feminism. And I want to make sure people know about you. I should have led with this one. You have this this YouTube channel called Girl Rights What? And you get into all kinds of subjects around this, right? Sex, gender, rights, feminism. And that's what you do. This is the big thing. Go to YouTube, and I'll put that information up there. But going back to the conversation on gender identity, this term gender identity, what you ended up having with that man who ended up living as David and ended up, still ended up killing himself is that mental illness was imposed upon him, in essence, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. It was Dr. John Money didn't just do the surgery and everything. He did all kinds of follow-up therapy sessions with both the brothers, right, because they were identical twins. Mm-hmm. And some of that therapy was just hair-raising, you know, like having them act out as children, as like 6, 7, 8-year-olds act out sexual scenarios, you know, sort of, you know, fully clothed, sure, but, you know, you're acting or miming the act of sex on your sibling. And just all kinds of messed up stuff coming out of that doctor's brain and that he imposed on those boys. So, and, you know, David's brother, Bruce, when he learned the truth, I think his name was Bruce, he was also just absolutely horrified because, you know, like, think of it. You've been forced to do all of these things, sexualized things to your, you know, you can think, well, I'm straight or whatever, right? So mm-hmm. I did those things to a girl, right? But now it's like, oh, no, you know, am I gay? You know, like, total crisis.
Yeah, you can set up all sorts of problems there. Well, we take what happened with this, with frankly, for lack of another term, I just think I kind of like the idea of the pervert doc. Okay, you get the pervert doc wanting to push this concept that gender has nothing to do with biology, but just what you're thinking, and then you have today in which that kind of point of view has been practically institutionalized in the state of Oregon. I would imagine is probably going to be going after these Idaho kids that the Supreme Court says are, you know, doctors are not allowed to do the tranny surgery on them. No gender affirming care. You know, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, the Supreme Court of the U.S., they actually paused, you know, because officials in Idaho, the legislature passed a law, right, barring any kind of medicalized care. Mm-hmm. So no hormones. No hormone blockers and no surgeries for minors, like no more of that. And because these are the life-changing things, right? These are the completely irreversible life-changing aspects of transgender care, right? Or gender affirming care, therapy sessions and things like that. You know, you can get over those,
right?
You can change your mind still. But for minors, and two teenagers sued, to get the law blocked, and so they wanted an injunction against any enforcement of this law, and the Supreme Court said that basically they ruled that the law could only be blocked, enforcement of it could only be blocked for these two individuals.
Right.
But other than that, Idaho could enforce this law and ban these procedures and treatments, and so. All that's going to happen now, I think, is for the ACLU, who actually were the ones suing on behalf of these two teenagers. All that's going to happen, I think, is they're going to start a class action lawsuit and see if they can take a second kick at SCOTUS to get it banned, get the law struck down. So,
what about, it would seem to me that enterprising trial attorneys should be going after the people who have been abused by the transgender situation. Wouldn't that be a pretty ripe, especially ones that are trying to
harder said than done.
Really?
Yeah, no, it's, there's when you sign that waiver, as far as, you know, getting the surgeries done and things like that, when you sign those things, you're absolving them of any legal responsibility or liability for any kind of, you know, adverse events that occur, you know, because gender reassignment surgery is so riddled with complications. It has like something like a 57% complication rate. It's quite high. And we're not talking just minor complications either. So, you know, you have these surgeries being done basically with waivers that completely absolve the practitioner from any kind of legal liability for that.
So the ghouls at Oregon Health and Science University are pretty much then protected from any kind of pushback on their agenda, on their push for this.
Yeah, no, and they hold these trans people, and, you know, like, there is such a thing as gender dysphoria. There is such a thing as you know, being distressed by, you know, thinking that you would rather be the opposite sex, or you don't want to be the sex that you are.
Mm-hmm.
But what they're doing is they're using these vulnerable people who usually have significant comorbidities like anxiety, depression, autism, things like that, right, that go along with that. They're hiding behind them as they're using them as human shields by saying, you know, they blackmail parents by saying, look, you can either have a dead daughter or a living trans son. Okay, those
right.
are your choices. And but there's no evidence of that. There's no evidence supporting the only studies. There was one study that was done in Sweden back in 2010, I believe, 2011, right? And they just recently had to correct it. Right? To
uh-huh.
say, yeah, no, surgery and hormone therapy provide no benefit, mental health benefit whatsoever, even 10 years down the line, right? There's no improvement. There's no reduction in the use of psychiatric drugs. There's no reduction in the use of psychiatric therapy and the need for psychiatric therapy. There's no reduction in the number of hospital admissions following suicide attempts. If there is, it's because of suicides having been completed and they weren't counted in our study, because they only counted, you know, they lost, you know, thousands of patients or hundreds of patients to follow up, right? But they didn't bother to ask, well, okay, so why are those patients no longer in the Swedish healthcare system?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Karen, so the science is starting to leak out now, finally. It's starting to leak out that this is not taking care of the mental illness, which has been driving a lot of this. And by the way, I want to tell you, mm-hmm. I have great sympathy for people with serious gender dysphoria. And I'm not
me too.
You know, and I'm not so sure about, you know, if we have male souls or female souls, or generally speaking, or and we can get dropped into the wrong one. I worked with someone, a famous radio broadcaster many years ago, who was a male. And then in the 1990s, I think he ended up going transgender. And it was not cool to do that back at that time. And it was
mm-hmm.
and it's not nearly as good, if you want to call it that, as it might be now. But, you know, he did it as an adult. And
mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, you know, when you've been doing this and you're thinking about this through your 20s and your 30s and your 40s, and then you're doing something like this in your 40 or 50, I get that. This is serious, and this is something which has been contemplated. This whole idea now that your boy wants to play dress up and then all of a sudden he's a girl and then you're already going for the puberty blockers, this is child abuse and destruction of people.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, like, okay. I grew up a tomboy, and I am not a very feminine-presenting woman
mm-hmm.
either. You know, I'm all for my short, poorly cut hair and my comfortable shoes, and I don't even own a skirt anymore. So I'm just like, and I like power tools, and I like fixing my car, and I like, you know, doing a lot of male-type things.
Hey, you know, for a lot of guys, you're a keeper. You're a keeper, Karen, okay?
I know. It's my husband has decided to keep me.
Good.
So, despite my recalcitrant attitude, but essentially, if someone had come to me at age, you know, 4 or 5, and said, you know, I notice you play with mostly boys, and you play with the boys' toys and the Legos and the toy cars and things, and you don't want to play with the dolls and all of that, you know, did you ever really wonder if maybe you are a boy? Because, you know, you could be a boy.
Sure.
And you can become a boy, right? That would have messed up my head.
Would it have been appealing to you at some point, though? Or just thinking about this, though, or not?
Well, it would have made me dissatisfied. It might have given me gender dysphoria. It might have made me distressed.
Oh.
at the fact that here I am acting like a boy, and, you know, but I'm a girl, and so things aren't right. And so it might have actually induced gender dysphoria in me for to have somebody suggest that to me. Now, as it was, you know, I grew up, I had got married, I had my three kids fairly early in life, you know, at age 23 and 24, and then a third at 32. Mm-hmm. And I used to reach a state of zen-like bliss, folding cloth diapers, you know, or breastfeeding them. I mean, it was like to think that I could, that I might have missed out on those things that brought me so much joy and so much contentment and so much serenity as a woman, you know, that they're a huge part of my life, those memories of when my kids were small. And, you know, even now that they're grown, you know, I'm so proud that, you know, I was able to do that, and I was able to raise them, and I was able to, you know, teach them how to be responsible, you know, upstanding human beings who are independent and take care of themselves and all of those things, right? You know, it's a huge sense of pride and satisfaction that comes out of that. And that could have all been stolen from me, right? If I'd had this Greek chorus of people trying to convince me from kindergarten, right, that I should really transition into a male.
Do you believe that we're going to see a lot of incredibly damaged kids as young adults here in the near future because of the transgender agenda?
There's already a transitioner movement out there, or detransitioner movement.
Oh.
And those are generally people who were put through. These are not the people from, you know, 20 years ago who went through like 7-8 years of intensive psychiatric or psychological therapy, right, in order to make sure that they were really sure, and then they had to live as the other sex for a full year before they were even authorized to go on hormones, even as adults, right? I mean, this is how this was taken care of decades ago. And, you know, you had to really be persistent, persistently gender dysphoric, persistently wanting to transition. And you had to be really damn sure. Otherwise, that nobody was going
to
do it.
You had to be committed. Now all you have to do is just raise your hand, and you're in.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no. There was a young man on 60 Minutes. Was actually a stunningly balanced look at it, who he had an orchidectomy, which is removal of the testes, at age 18. Mm-hmm. You know, and she asked, the reporter asked, well, you know, and how much, you know, preparation, like, you know, did you spend years or whatever? And he said, no, I saw a psychologist for an hour.
Wow.
And they authorized the surgery.
Boy, don't we have a more intense review to get your knee replaced? You know, for crying out loud.
I know.
Huh?
I know. It's insane. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. We are going insane. And to actually say that it's going to be such a hardship to make these teenagers wait until at least age 18 before they start doing this stuff, because, you know, like, and nobody's discussing the complications right now. You know, like, there's a new type of vaginoplasty that uses a resected section of the colon,
mm-hmm,
as
the neo-vagina.
And that's because since we've started putting these boys on puberty blockers, right, their penises don't grow large enough to use them to construct the neo-vagina.
Oh, that's right. They're not enough to turn inside out, right? Which I think is how...
Yeah.
Sorry to be a little crude. I think that's how they do that. I've read a little bit of that.
Yeah.
And it really shocks me every time I read on these subjects, Karen. Karen Strawn with me once again. Advocate for men's rights, critic of feminism. YouTube channel is Girl Rights What? And, of course, she gets into a lot of these sex and gender sort of things. They're not really talking about the side effects. One question I was wondering, this is kind of philosophical, though. You are kind of an anti-feminist. And
yes.
It sounds
I wouldn't
like,
say kind of.
Okay, you are an anti-feminist. Not because you are anti-woman, and it almost sounds to me like you are absolutely full-throated pro-woman, right? Would that be fair? Is that when I really interpret where you're coming from?
Well, it depends on the woman. You know, there are women who behave badly, just as there are men who behave badly.
Okay.
But I'm just for fairness overall. What I've seen, you know, the reason why I'm against feminism is because it basically is a thesis with no real research or facts behind it. So it's basically a description of how society works. We live in a patriarchy, and this is how the patriarchy operates, and this is why it operates the way it does, and all of these things, right? These are all descriptions of reality. And then they apply prescriptions to fix those things, right? Fix things about that they don't like. And what generally happens and has been happening over the last 50 years or so, right, is that the prescriptions make the problem worse. Right, the treatments that they apply make the problem worse, and that's because they misdiagnose the problem. Right, the problem is not that men oppress women, and they have for millennia, and this and that and the other, and all of this other stuff, this garbage about how men ganged up on women and just decided women were gonna live under men's boot heels forever, right? No. There's a reason why men and women do the things that they do. There's a reason why societies exist as they do. There's a reason why there are no matriarchies anywhere in history, have never been any matriarchies or societies where women had higher status, political and economic status than men did, right, that ever achieved the level of civilization, the categorization of civilization. They remained small, poor, and definitely weren't building roads. So, you know, you look at history. If you look at history just through the feminist lens, you know, and you believe that, oh well, men have it out for women, and men hate women, and men are all basically just misogynists, and it's all anti-woman sexism. I mean, if you treat women worse than you treat men, then you're hostily sexist. But if you treat them better than you treat men, you're benevolently sexist, which means that you're also sexist and a misogynist, because, you know, you're not doing it because you love women. You're doing it because you consider women too weak to do it for themselves, right? And so there's all of these mental gymnastics when the explanation is actually quite ordinary, and that's, men and women are psychologically different. They're psychologically and physically different, and that's for a reason. And that reason is because of biology, and it is evolved, right? So it existed. These behavioral and patterns of thinking and behavior, or feeling and behavior, they go back not millennia, not even the 200,000 years or so that hominids have been around, you know, proto-humans, right? But all the way back to the evolution of sex, to the evolution of male and female having to come together to reproduce, right? That's when the differences started. So you're not going to shake them.
What about I'm sorry. Go ahead and complete that thought. And then I had another question here.
You're not going to shake them with top down government initiatives or diversity programs or whatever. I mean, you look at 60% of women, of full time working women in America, would rather work less or not at all. It's the new American dream for women, but they can't, because feminism screwed it up for them.
Yeah, feminism decided that you were more productive being a cog in the corporate cube farm, right?
Yeah, no, serving sandwiches and lemonade to customers at a restaurant as opposed to your own children at home.
Interesting. The transgender movement, though, especially when it comes to men transitioning to be faux women, all right?
Mm-hmm.
What amount of that is being driven, in your opinion, if any at all, by the fact that men are rarely valued in society and men are looked at as the root of all evil and problems? Anything like that? Any thoughts on that?
I think that there is a little bit of that going on. I do think that there is a biological explanation for some transgender identities, for some people who identify as trans, and it would be so easy to verify that on a case by case basis. You just take a brain scan. There's it's called the third interstitial nucleus of the anterior hypothalamus, and in transgender men, it looks female, and in transgender women, it looks male.
Oh.
Right, and these are the people who persistently and they don't have other comorbidities. They don't, you know, necessarily have the anxiety or the depression. Might not even have gender dysphoria, but they do go to their deathbeds saying, "Well, I was born in the wrong body."
Right.
Okay. So you have that, right? None of these kids are getting brain scans done to confirm whether they're actually trans.
But it is cool to be trans, is it not?
Well, there's a zero tolerance policy for bullying trans kids.
Well, I'm even looking at, look at how many seem to come out of the celebrity world here, Karen. You just, all you have to do is at, Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner's kid, who all of a sudden is now behaving as a boy after she starts hanging out with J-Lo's kid, who is trans, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, there's a massive social contagion going on here, too. It started with when girls started outnumbering boys in terms of identifying as the opposite sex, because it was always boys more than girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe part of that initial trend, boys more than girls, might have something to do with internalized homophobia. Back when, because we've always been kinder to lesbians than we have ever been to gay men.
To gay men, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so there might have been some of that going on. But now what we have is we have a whole bunch of girls who maybe have social anxiety, depression. Most of them are on the autism spectrum. They don't really get along well with other girls. Right. So the more socially socially savvy and psychologically.
In other words, what we used to call normal. All right. Just a normal girl.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Ordinary girls.
Ordinary
right?
girl.
They don't get along with those girls. Those normal girls do not want to hang out with these socially awkward, partially autistic or fully autistic young girls. They feel like they don't fit in anywhere, and to them, and they may even be clinically depressed because of that, because of being socially excluded. And then, you know, someone comes up to them, or they make a trans friend or whatever. They join a LGBTQ alliance at school or whatever, and the option of transition is kind of presented to them as the solution to all of their problems.
That's right.
Yeah. And so there is definitely, particularly among these girls, a social contagion aspect of things going on. But, you know, with the boys, I think it may actually be, there's endocrine disruptors all over our environment.
So you're thinking there could be a biological, or chemical driver to some of this.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, no, most of them are testosterone disruptors, right? Most of the things like bisphenol A and phthalates in plastics and off gases from, you know, your flooring or your carpet or whatever.
And let's make sure that all the foods that your young boy is eating are soy soaked, right?
Yeah.
That kind
yeah.
of thing.
Phytoestrogens, yeah. No, there's environmental estrogens are everywhere. And a lot of these endocrine disruptors, they actually they can pass through the placental barrier, and that means that they're disrupting the sexual development of boys in the womb. And you know, so you end up with there was a CBC documentary from years ago, had to have been from like 2008 or something like that, called The Disappearing Male. And I would suggest to anybody that they give that a watch, because, when you when you think about all of the chemicals in our environment, particularly things like phthalates, which make plastic soft and pliable, so they're the cornerstone of the safe baby toy industry. And what do babies do with their little rubber duckies and stuff? They put everything in their mouth.
In their mouth. And so you are then taking some of these gender bender endocrine disruptors, right? It's a good way of thinking about it.
Yeah.
It was kind of like how Alex Jones, not that I'm a huge fan, but he would say, they're turning the frogs gay, right? You know, that kind of thing, right?
I don't want them putting chemicals in the water that turn the freaking frogs gay, but
yeah.
It was wrong. Because the frogs didn't turn gay, they turned trans.
Yeah, okay. It says that. Turn the freaking frogs trans. But I guess that didn't make the hit as much. Really interesting. How do you think we as a society, Western society, seems to be in this contagion? Are we kind of at peak contagion at this point? Or do you think we still have a while left to go before all of a sudden people wake up from this and say, what the hell did we do to our kids, Karen?
It's starting. The UK closed down their big clinic for gender youth in the country, the Tavistock Clinic. Mm-hmm. They shut that down. They were like, yeah, no more of this. Sweden has backed off. And so, I mean, at least in terms of providing gender-affirming care to minors, they've started to really back off of that. So we're seeing, you know, some countries actually reverting back to, I won't say sane, but saner, and reversing course.
Okay.
And so I think Canada and the United States will follow suit eventually, but it'll have to get probably as bad as it got in the UK and Sweden before, and we're still a ways away from that, before we ourselves reverse course. And, you know, the detransitioner movement, they really, I hate to put it on them, right, and say you have an obligation, right, to speak up, speak out, right, even though people will be attacking you when you do. I think they do have an obligation to say, I made this horrible mistake, right, and I can't undo it. There's no way to fix it. And I don't want to see anybody else make the mistake that I did. So,
Karen, this is a very thoughtful.
There's got to be at least a few brave souls.
Yeah, they're going to have to take the arrows, take the incoming. And frankly, we need to back the people taking the arrows because they're telling the truth. Karen Strawn, once again, I'm going to go subscribe to your YouTube. I want to find out more about what you're doing over there on this Girl Writes What. I mean, I already have all sorts of YouTube subscriptions for tearing apart cars and engines and things like that. This will be something that'll feed my head, okay? I'm going to do this. All right. And Girl Writes What is the name of the YouTube channel. I'm going to put all your other information up, too. Have you written any books at all? Anything that people should know about?
No.
No? Haven't done that yet?
No, I haven't. No.
Okay.
No. Well, I have written books, but they're not related to this. They're dirty books for women, and they're out of print, so don't even bother asking.
Okay, it's the doity books. All right. That's all right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you've seen women from all sides then. Let's put it that way, okay?
I do.
All right. Karen, thank you so much. Very thought-provoking talk. I'm going to put your information up,
right,
and I want to find out more about you, and I appreciate you coming on. Thanks for the call. Okay.
Thanks so much.
All right. 8:45 at KMED and KCMD. Karen Strawn, once again, her YouTube channel, Girl Writes What, if you want to look her up.
Freddy's Diner in Old Town Eagle Point has a menu designed to appeal to everyone in the family. Choose from 13 hearty burgers served with fresh-cut fries, crisp and moist pressure-fried chicken, hand-dipped fish and chips, beer-battered prawns, sandwiches, steaks, salads, and more. Dine in or check out the menu online. Call in your order, and it'll be waiting for a quick and easy pickup. Support your local restaurants. Freddy's Diner on Main and Old Town Eagle Point.
Open 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day for lunch and dinner. Did you know that Good Guys Guns, the Valley's firearms leader, offers layaway plans to fit every budget? Good Guys has a large inventory of new and used firearms with the lowest prices in town. And Good Guys pays the background fee for you. Would you like to have your concealed handgun license? Give Good Guys Guns a call and sign up for their May 4th class. The four-hour Saturday class will give you the knowledge to carry with confidence. Good Guys Guns, 4934 Crater Lake Avenue.
Good Guys Guns.
If you're an experienced technician, why would you want to work for Kelly's Automotive Service? Because you align with our values. Yes, we're one of the top paying shops in the Valley, and we've won a lot of awards, including one of the top 100 places to work. But we want people to come and work with us because who we are aligns with who they are. Because knowing you're part of something bigger really matters. Please drop off your resume or give us a call. Kelly's Automotive Service, where we service your vehicle, but take care of you.
One of each, Forte VIN 770-783, MSRP 21645, 3500 due. Sol VIN 235213, MSRP 22210, 3500 due. 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer, plus tax, title, license, 150 registration processing fee. Trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance ends 4/30/24.
Making payments on a car you don't want to drive anymore? You need Kia Medford's Payment Wipeout. We're wiping out all the payments you have left on your old car so you can drive a new Kia, like a new 2024 Kia Forte LXS or a new 2024 Kia Soul LX. Just $149 a month lease, both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Get into a new Kia, like Fortes or Souls. Your choice, just $149 a month during the payment wipeout at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD, and this is the Bill Meyer Show.
Interesting talk today with Karen Strawn, the anti-feminist, and kind of a deep dive on the transgender situation, thinking that we're not quite at peak transgender. I'm just concerned about, you know, we're going to be looking at a bunch of damaged kids here as damaged adults. Some have even opined there that like the Antifa transgender army, you know, that kind of thing, because you get that angry and that going trans did not solve your problem. And then you're going to lash out one way or the other. But Al's in the Applegate. Al, take it away. What were you thinking about that after hearing?
Yeah, following up on your guest thoughts, I'm remembering John F. Kennedy had a sister named Rosemary, and she had, I believe it was a very serious, severe case of depression.
Yes.
And rather than treating her depression with psychotherapy and narcotics, but pharmacology, they used surgery to treat her her depression. They gave her a frontal lobotomy, and the consequences were devastating and irreversible. And we look back at it now as being utterly barbaric, and I don't see a nickel's difference between this transitioning that they're doing, treating a psychiatric disorder with irreversible and devastating surgery rather than using psychotherapy.
Boy, the one state that's actually looking at this sensibly, you know, to see Idaho doing the right thing, in which they're saying, all right, we're not going to stop you as an adult, but hands off the kids, right? That's smart.
Absolutely.
That's a smart way to go. And to think that the ACLU is going so against the kids right now, the long-term health of the children. Appreciate the call there, Al. Let me go to line one. Hi there. You're on. Welcome. Who's this? Hello?
Yeah, my name is Mike.
Hey, Mike. What's going on?
So I was really interested in the conversation you were having.
Glad you enjoyed it.
Trans. Mm-hmm. And there is a book that's really good out there. It's called Lost in Translation. Excuse me, Transnation.
Yeah, Lost in Transnation.
Translation, yeah. Written by Dr. Mira, and it's really cheap, like $1.99 really? On Kindle. And this gal's a 40-year psychiatrist. I mean, she's been being a psychiatrist for children for 40 years, and her practice now is primarily this group of people. So she is, of course, very much against gender-affirmed care.
Yeah. What has concerned me about the gender-affirming care situation is that it's almost as if the entire medical community has gone completely soft on this whole idea, the Hippocratic Oath of first, do no harm, right? Do no harm.
Yeah, it's all about the money, really. They're making scads of money up there at OHSU, and it's a crazy thing.
Even though, as Karen Strawn noted here, Mike, that trans people who go through the trans operations end up having to sign away their rights, and yes, we understand. You know, how can you have a mentally ill person truly give proper consent on something like this?
Well, how can a child?
Yes, a mentally ill child who's having emotional problems.
I can't believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't believe that a child. Certainly, their parents can sign them away, but I think later when the child. You know, when a child has a surgery and then a couple of years later they notice that there's a problem with the results of it, it starts when, that is, the legal issue starts when they notice it.
Yeah.
And then they can, I think they can sue.
All right. I appreciate the call. Thanks for that, Mike. And everybody else who's on online right now, please just hold on. I'll be right back with you. We'll grab a few more calls before we wrap for the show. And Mark Lee Van Camp and Robin, 770-5633.
Integrity, service before self, and excellence in all we do. Those are the core values the Air Force has taught me, and I live my life every day using those values in serving my community, in volunteer work, at my business, family, and if elected, serving you in Josephine County. Hi, my name is Chris Barnett, candidate for County Commissioner. I work and play here. I'm a graduate of Hidden Valley, a still-serving serviceman, business owner, and a hardworking taxpayer like you. If elected in May, I want to serve you, the citizens of Josephine County, and be your voice. I believe in the grassroots of our communities, and that means building relationships between the county and the cities, having a positive image of our taxpayer dollars at work, and have unity in our communities to build a safe Josephine County. Do you want what's best for Josephine County and keep us moving in the right direction? I sure do, and that's why I'm asking for your vote in May for County Commissioner. I want to put my leadership, business skills, positivity, and energy working for you. Please vote Chris Barnett for County Commissioner so I can get to work for a better Josephine County.
Paid for by citizens to elect Chris Barnett for commissioner.
Are you craving a tasty and satisfying lunch option? Look no further. Artisan Bakery Cafe is offering fresh salad wraps. Now you can turn any of their delicious salads, whether it's our fresh house salad, classic Caesar salad, or flavorful cranberry almond feta, into a scrumptious wrap. And that's not all. You can customize it with your choice of turkey, ham, roast beef, or chicken salad for that extra protein punch. Stop by today and enjoy indoor-outdoor seating across from Fred Meyer at 1325 Center Drive in Medford. That's Artisan Bakery Cafe.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority on post-frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
Life's busy, and off is not an option. You need to be on the water, on the call, on the road. Life's waiting. Power on with Batteries Plus. Visit one of over 700 locations today.
Joel here with a mass story problem from Butler Ford and Truck Center. If Ford gives you a $5,000 rebate and Butler Ford matches it with a $5,000 discount and the government gives you a $7,500 tax credit, how fast will a Ford Lightning EV pickup that's saving you $17,500 go from 0 to 60? How about 4.2 seconds? And that's why I want you to test drive one this week. If after your Lightning test drive you decide you want to go with a good old-fashioned gas-powered F-150, not a problem. I've got them in stock with 1.9% financing for 72 months. And that Lightning test drive, 0 to 60 and 4.2, well, that can just be a really cool story you tell your buddies. Butler says yes to bigger discounts and rebates. Butler says yes to giving you more for your trade. Butler says yes to 1.9% financing for 72 months. Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 short minutes south of Medford, right off of exit 19, where we've got your truck, your SUV, certified pre-owned, hybrid, EV, and huge savings.
72 monthly payments of $14.71 per thousand finance on approved credit through Ford Credit. Offer expires 4/30/24.
Stay updated on recreational opportunities all over our region with the Outdoor Report every Friday morning just past 7 a.m. on the Bill Myers Show. The Outdoor Report on KMED and KCMD is powered by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, your department of adventure off Vilas Road on Airway Drive.
The Bill Myers Show is on 106.3 KMED and 99.3 KCMD.
It is 8:56. This portion of the program sponsored by Valley View Nursery, your only nursery with online pricing. Great people down there, too, all right? Visit valleyviewnursery.com. They're closer than you think, okay? Joel's over in the Iron Gate. He's a far a far distance away as the crow flies, as they would say back in the day. How you doing this
29
morning?
29 degrees.
Oh, pretty chilly there, huh? You haven't gotten past the frost, huh?
Well, no. I mean, it just warmed up.
Oh, okay. Oh, good. So, good. All right. What's on your mind?
But well, there was about 3 years ago, right before the COVID nightmare, there was ads on TV and radio where you're a big-time lawyer out, you know, law firms, they were going, did your teenage son start growing breasts? And, well, this has got to be directly related to the food supply and the water. I mean, and this was all before this big trans deal, which part of it is, seems to be trendy. Like, well, if you're not like a, you know, if you're not look, you know, if you want to fit in the crowd, maybe you want to change your sex, you know,
yeah.
for kids in high school. And, you know, I really worry about this. And then
you're thinking there's more. Stuff. You think there's more to it, to the actual biological effects, the environmental chemicals, the phthalates, and everything else that have been talked about as endocrine disruptors. That certainly could be part of it. Certainly could be part of it. Because are you trying to tell me that 10 to 15, 20% of the kids all of a sudden have always been this way, and we're just finding out about it now? I don't think so, Joel. Doesn't make sense. All right. I appreciate the call. And you be well, because I'm just out of time, because Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins are coming up here in just a few minutes. And we'll talk more on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Never a lack of that.